want to continue looking at Exodus chapter 20, verse 13, the sixth commandment, which is, thou shalt not kill. We see that what this means, what this refers to, we've already seen what it doesn't refer to. Refers to that which is premeditated, criminal neglect that leads to death, accessory to death. Last week we see that this also includes abortion, which is premeditated and which is accessory as well. We saw that life begins at conception. We see in Galatians 1 and verse 15, but when it pleased God, who separated me from my mother's womb, so it was me in my mother's womb, not a blob of tissue, but me from my mother's womb. So there's no doubt in anyone's mind here that the unborn infant is a person from conception. I will say this, that God's people need to be very careful, need to do some studying if they decide to use birth control, because many forms of birth control is nothing but an abortion. And it would be wise to see how that works. But people have been brainwashed and duped into believing that the main issue is a woman's rights. That is not only not the main issue, it's not even the issue. The issue is murder of a child, an unborn child. The Word of God, of course, warns against the killing of an infant. Exodus 21, verse 22 and 23, if men strive and hurt a woman with child, so that her fruit depart from her, and yet no mischief follow, he shall be surely punished according as the woman's husband will lay upon him, and he will pay as the judges determine. If any mischief follow, then thou shalt give life for life. Again, abortion is just a nice word for murder for hire. That's all it is, murder for hire. It brings us to our next, what is included here in this commandment would be suicide. Suicide is murder. Suicide is self-murder. It is a, as all murder is, it's a terrible tragedy. It's usually an act of desperation. There are several examples of suicide in the Word of God. We want to look at those examples. There are also several opinions held by Christians that cannot be backed by Scripture concerning suicide, and we'll look at those as well. We have the example of Samson. Notice in the book of Judges, chapter 16, the book of Judges, chapter 16, Samson was a messed up individual in a lot of ways. However, he is mentioned in Hebrews chapter 11, the chapter of faith. But beginning with verse 23, then the lords of the Philistines gathered them together for to offer a great sacrifice unto Dagon their god, and to rejoice, for they said, our gods have delivered Samson our enemy into our hand. And when the people saw him, they praised their god, for they said, our god hath delivered into our hands our enemy, and the destroyer of our country, which slew many of us. This is a great trial, a great misery for Samson. And it came to pass, when the hearts were merry, that they said, call for Samson, that he may make us sport. And they called for Samson out of the prison house, and he made them sport, and they set him between the pillars. And Samson said unto the lad that held him by the hand, suffer me that I may feel the pillars whereupon the house standeth, that I may lean upon them. Now the house was full of men and women, and all the lords of the Philistines were there, and there were upon the roof about 3,000 men and women that beheld while Samson made sport. And Samson called on the Lord and said, O Lord God, remember me, I pray thee, and strengthen me, I pray thee, only this once, O God, that I may be at once avenged of the Philistines for my two eyes. And Samson took hold of the two middle pillars upon which the house stood and which it was borne up, of the one with his right hand and the other with his left. And Samson said, let me die with the Philistines. So Samson knew what he was doing, and he bowed himself with all his might, and the house fell upon the lords and upon all the people that were therein. So the dead which he slew at his death were more than they which he slew in his life. Then his brethren and all the house of his father came down and took him and brought him up and buried him between Zorah and Eshtahol, in the burying place of Manoah his father, and he judged Israel 20 years. Some call the death of Samson that Samson was a martyr. I believe that's quite a stretch. First of all, no one killed Samson, he killed himself. This was suicide. And so we have the example of Samson. We have the example of Saul. Notice in 1 Samuel chapter 31, 1 Samuel chapter 31 and verse 4. Then said Saul unto his armor bearer, draw thy sword and thrust me through therewith, lest these uncircumcised come and thrust me through and abuse me. But his armor bearer would not, for he was sore afraid. Therefore Saul took a sword and fell upon it. Now at this time, Saul, of course, was mortally wounded by an arrow from an enemy. He saw that he was dying. He knew that death would follow. He knew that the torture, that the Pharisees would probably capture him and torture him. So he commands his armor bearer to finish him off with a sword. The armor bearer refuses to do so, and Saul purposely falls upon his own sword. Again, in both cases, in the case of Samson, in the case of Saul, you see a situation of desperation. But in both cases, both individuals took their own life, which is, again, self-murder. Then we have Saul's armor bearer in the very next verse in 1 Samuel 31 in verse 5. And when his armor bearer saw that Saul was dead, again, desperation here, he fell likewise upon his sword and died with him. So his armor bearer witnessed Saul killing himself, and he knew that he would not be spared by the Philistines, and that he would not be spared a torturing death. So he purposely falls upon his sword. We have in 2 Samuel chapter 17, Ahithophel, who was David's trusted counselor in 2 Samuel 17, verse 25. And when Ahithophel saw that his counsel was not followed, he saddled his ass and arose and got him home to his house, to his city, put his household in order. Again, everything is premeditated here. And hanged himself and died and was buried in the sepulchre of his father. Now, Ahithophel followed Absalom in his rebellion against David. He became Absalom's counselor, but when his plan was rejected by Absalom, and David would return as king, again, Ahithophel originally was David's counselor or advisor, but in the rebellion of Absalom, he went over to Absalom's side. Absalom, of course, is killed. David returns as king. And Ahithophel saw that he would be exposed and punished by David. And once again, desperation set in. So he went home. He set his house in order. There's great premeditation. There's great forethought here. And it says that he hanged himself. Committed suicide. 1 Kings chapter 16. 1 Kings chapter 16, verse 18, we have Zimri. And it came to pass when Zimri saw that the city was taken, that he, which again would be a state of desperation, that he went into the palace of the king's house, burnt the king's house over him with fire, and died. Now, Zimri was captain under Elah, who was the king of Israel. Zimri had conspired against Elah, and while Elah was drunk, Zimri killed him and his sons, and he declared himself as king. And he actually reigned for 7 days. When the army learned what had happened, what Zimri had done, they marched again against him. Seeing the city was surrounded, or seeing that he was surrounded, seeing that the battle was lost, Zimri barricaded himself in the palace of the king and purposely burned it down with himself inside, which again, suicide. We have, of course, the example of Judas. Notice in Matthew chapter 27, Matthew 27 and verse 5. Let's go up to verse 3. Then Judas, which had betrayed him, when he saw that he was condemned, repented himself, and brought again the 30 pieces of silver to the chief priest and elders, saying, I have sinned, and that I have betrayed the innocent blood. And they said, what is that to us? See thou to that. And he cast down the pieces of silver in the temple, and departed, and went and hanged himself. So, we have several examples of men who committed suicide. Granted that most of these cases, I don't believe all, but most of these cases were committed These acts were committed by unsaved individuals. I don't believe Samson was an unsaved individual. And there is debate whether or not Saul was an unsaved individual. But that leads into a question that many ask, and many foolish opinions and ideas are formed concerning the subject of suicide. People will ask often, can a saved individual commit suicide? Yes, they can. Yes, they can. A saved individual can do anything. It only takes a moment. It only takes one foolish decision, one foolish thought. If you are going to ask that question, can a saved person commit suicide, then we must follow that up with a lot of other questions. Can a saved person commit adultery? Can a saved person steal? I mean, on and on we go. A saved person, again, left to ourselves, you and I can do anything. Some will say, and there are preachers that believe this, that, well, that first of all, a saved person can't commit suicide. And then there are some who hold to the idea that it is the unpardonable sin. And therefore, anyone who commits suicide goes to hell. In other words, if they were saved, they lost their salvation when they committed suicide. But what they base this on is it's the unforgivable sin. And there are many people who, you know, the Bible speaks of the unpardonable sin. And there are many people, in fact, if not most, that believe that the unpardonable sin is suicide. And their reasoning is such. They can't be forgiven because they can't confess it. Well, if that's true, I mean, think that thing through. Every one of us are going to die with unconfessed sins. So, if that's true, we're all going to hell. That's ridiculous. And again, people form these ideas, and people have very strong thoughts. Brother Jeff Lawrence, you know, several, the discussion, well, do you think a saved person can even do that? Well, there's a lot of course they can. But there's a lot of issues that revolve around suicide. Person can be on a drug. I mean, you read the side effects of most, if not all, antidepressant drugs. Suicidal. So, does that excuse it? No. It doesn't excuse it. But that's something to consider. Can a saved person become so desperate, so depressed, that they think about taking their life? Certainly. I mean, there are many children of God, perhaps almost everyone at one time or another, perhaps, I don't know, has the thought fleeted through their mind that, you know, I'll just run my car into this telephone pole or whatever. Desperation can make you do crazy things and can, of course, change the thought process. Chemical imbalance. There's just so many things to consider. There, of course, can be somebody faces a circumstance, and it's an overwhelming circumstance. And once again, out of desperation, do children of God? Again, suicide, no doubt, is an act of desperation. There's no doubt about that. So, if you're going to ask the question, can a saved person commit suicide, then I must ask the question, can a saved person become desperate? And I believe, yes, they can. Read the Psalms. I mean, the psalmist was desperate in many times, all through the Word of God. And we can look at our own lives. Have there been times when we have been desperate? Not to the point of taking our life, but we've been desperate. Self-pity. I mean, on and on we can go. But again, none of those things make suicide not a sin. Suicide's a sin. No matter what the cause, no matter what the reason, suicide is self-murder. But I personally believe that it is a ridiculous and just a ridiculous conversation to even have. Can a saved person commit suicide? I think that the answer to that is yes. And if you say no, they can't, then you've opened up a door that produces all kinds of problems. But most people who hold the position, and there are preachers in our fellowship that hold the position that a saved person can't commit suicide, and they'll say, well, in my opinion. Well, I'm glad you clarified it's your opinion, because you cannot base it upon scriptures. That's what it is. It's opinion. But so suicide is self-murder. I would say that suicide is perhaps the most selfish act that a person can commit. They, of course, at the time of their desperation, are not thinking through the effect that this is going to have upon other individuals. But suicide is self-murder. We also know that accidental death is not murder. Accidental death is not murder. We can accidentally kill somebody. You can be driving your car down the road, you're doing the speed limit, you're paying attention, all of a sudden a child runs out, you run over that child. That's an accidental death. Now, if you're doing 20 miles over the speed limit and you're talking on your cell phone, well, now we have a different issue. You didn't premeditate, but there's criminal neglect. There's criminal neglect there. But accidental death is not murder. And there, of course, accidental death would be a tragic, tragic thing. But neither the Bible nor the laws of the land consider accidental death to be murder. In Exodus chapter 21, Exodus chapter 21, and verse 13. If a man lie not in wait, so there's no premeditation, but God deliver him into his hand, then will I appoint thee a place whither he shall flee. And that, of course, was the establishment of the cities of refuge. Verse 28, we've looked at this already. If an ox gore a man or woman that they die, then the ox shall be surely stoned, and his flesh shall not be eaten, but the owner of the ox shall be quit or released from responsibility. But if the ox were wont to push, that is, this ox had a history of aggression with his horn in time past, and it hath been testified to his owner. So the owner knows that this ox has an aggression. He hath not kept him in, and he hath not kept him in. That's criminal neglect. But that he killeth a man or a woman, once again the ox shall be stoned, and his owner also shall be put to death. So there is accidental death, does not qualify as murder. There is premeditated, of course, that qualifies, an accessory. David, of course, is an example of an accessory to murder. And suicide is murder, abortion is murder, all of these things. Thou shalt not kill. Which leads us, not this week, but next. The commandment forbids all causes and all occasions that would lead to murder. And this is what Christ speaks of in the Sermon on the Mount. Let's look to the Lord in a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, again, we thank you, Lord, for this day. We thank you again, Lord, for your laws. And Lord, we know that they are meant for our good and for the good of society. And for this, we thank you. And Lord, we thank you for the privilege you've given us and the opportunity you've given us this day to meet in thy house with thy people, to meet in your presence. And Lord, we just pray that you'd help us today to worship you in a way that would honor and glorify you. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.